All right, guys, I'd like you to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to go to the Sermon on the Mount today in the sixth chapter. And we're going to talk about the relationship. That's the series we're in, experiencing the relationship, the Lord and you. And so the last few weeks, we've kind of looked at some different things. We looked at, first of all, that the relationship is there. It's God's desire for you to have that relationship. He made it possible for you to have that relationship by giving you Christ. We talk about the things that hang us up. We talked about our sin in the second week and dealing with our sin to not hinder that relationship. And then last week, we looked at the whole issue of how we can fall into the trap of letting others tell us what we need to do for the relationship and how that defeats us in getting out of it. Now I want to get into the meat of our series. I want to talk about, what do we do with this relationship? Where do we start? I think that's kind of where it's at. Like, where do we start with this relationship? Well, I think it's only natural. So what I want to talk about, first of all, with you is two things about the basics of a relationship. This is true for a human relationship, and it's definitely true with the relationship with the Lord. What do you mean? Well, first of all, here it is. At the heart of any relationship is communication. At the heart of any relationship is communication. That's talking and listening. Now, have you met anybody anywhere that got married and they never spoke to each other? Ever. Maybe a mail order bride thing or something like that, but that really doesn't happen, okay? There's always a sense, even in cultures where they arrange marriages, they have at some point in the arrangement of that marriage, they have a point where the groom and the bride meet together, at least maybe for a few minutes to talk to each other, right? But the basis of all relationships is listening and talking. And here's what I want you to understand. That's true when it comes to the relationship with the Lord. Okay? That's especially true when it comes to the relationship with the Lord. So in our relationship with the Lord, our biggest struggle is prayer. Would everybody agree with that? Our biggest struggle is prayer. What do you mean struggle, George? Well, first of all, we don't make time for it. Then if we make time for it, we get easily distracted. Or, here's another one, we fall asleep, okay? Depending on how busy your day is, or if you're struggling with sleep apnea or whatever, you fall asleep in your midst of your prayer, and then sometimes we, to be honest with you, we don't want to pray. We're just too busy. That's our biggest struggle. But now here's the thing. If I were to say to every one of us here, don't you want a relationship with the Lord? I think everyone would say, yeah, I want a relationship with the Lord. What are you talking about, George? We want a relationship. Yeah, but think about a human relationship. How far do you go in your relationship if you don't talk to each other? If there's no communication, right? I mean, it's a known fact that when you have marital struggles, it's usually three things: communication, finances, sexual intimacy is the third one. And the key with those last two is the communication issue. There's no communication. So when we talk about wanting to have a relationship with the Lord, it just doesn't happen by osmosis. It's going to take some action on our part to interact with Him. And how do we interact with Him? Talk to Him. And listen. Now, we're going to get into the listening part a little bit later on, but the first part we're going to talk about is the thing that all of us can do, and that's pray. Because prayer is the most common thing that's available to every one of us, and every one of us prays. In fact, unbelievers pray. Atheists pray. Whether they want to admit it or not, they do. You know, there is a natural sense in which we realize there has to be a connection with the Lord, And so it becomes an issue of prayer. Now, if we talk about prayer, I guess the first place we need to start with, and in fact, you'll notice I've called this Talking with God Part 1. We're going to take several weeks here talking about talking with God. But the first place I want to start out with is in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, is how Jesus says not to pray. There's got to be an etiquette, right? When you talk about getting with someone. Do you know what I'm saying? There's got to be an etiquette in the way that you talk with someone, the way you approach them, the way you speak about things. Because if you speak in the wrong way, does that affect relationships? Yeah. If you are acting a certain way in the way that, in which you approach to them, does that affect things? Yeah. So if you're going to talk to him, it maybe would make sense for us to listen to how the Lord says we're to approach him and what we shouldn't do, right? So that's what we're going to spend our time with. So we're going to look at three verses today. We're going to look at verses 5-7 of Matthew chapter 6. You've heard these verses before, so read along with me. I want you to notice what he says here. Look with me at verse 5. He, in verse 4, was just talking about hypocrites and about people doing stuff for show, okay? And about doing things in secret. But then when he gets to verse 5, he says, and when you pray, all right, so first of all, I want everybody to understand, prayer is nothing more than talking with God. Does everybody understand that? Prayer is nothing more than talking with God. All right, so here's what Jesus says. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in synagogues and at street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to bring out six things about misguided communication. So if we're going to go from here, let's say, okay, George, I want my relationship with the Lord. I want to start with the communication thing. All right, we're going to talk about six things that are misguided. Don't do these, okay? Six things to guide you, all right? Here it is. Here's the first one. Verse 5, he says, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who like to pray standing on street corners and stuff. Okay, here it is. What are they doing? They're making prayer about themselves, right? So here's what you do. Don't make prayer about you. Don't make prayer about you. Now, I didn't say don't pray about you. I said don't make prayer about you. There's a difference. When you pray about you, that means you're bringing your needs to him, right? I'm not talking about that. That's not what I'm saying. I didn't say that. George says I shouldn't pray about myself. No. I didn't say that. I said, don't make prayer about you. That's what a hypocrite does. A hypocrite makes prayer about them. Look at me. Look at me. Look at how great I am. Look at how spiritual I am. We can act that way with God sometimes too, right? Look at me, Lord. Kind of like the Pharisee and the tax collector. Look at me, Lord. I haven't done anything. I'm not like this lousy guy behind me, the tax collector. Don't make prayer about you. This isn't about you and how great you are. It's about the Lord and you connecting with him. Don't make it about you. For instance, have you ever been in a relationship when you talk to somebody and all they do is talk about themselves? And when I say talk about themselves, I'm not talking about just sharing history about themselves. They're like talking about themselves, about how great they are, how wonderful they are. And how fantastic it are. It's awesome that you are having lunch with them today. And have you ever been in a lunch situation like that? I've been with people like that. You're like, can we get this over and I can get out of here? Right? Because this person is into himself. So when you talk about prayer, it's not about you. Don't focus on you. In fact, here's the second point I want you to see. Prayer should be personal, not exhibitional. Prayer is a personal thing. It's you interacting with the living God. It's not exhibitional. It's not about other people seeing you or you showing yourself off. Which, by the way, think about that for a moment, okay? Here's the God of the universe who knows everything about you, even your warts. And we're going to come before him and act like there's something special about us when he already knows us. And he knows our failures. And he knows your sins. And he knows your thoughts and your attitudes. He knows how you treated that person, how you treated that clerk at a store, how you treated your family, how you did this, the things you were thinking, the thing you were yelling in your car when somebody cut you off. God knows all of that. And then you're going to show up and be like, oh, I'm great, Lord. No. Don't be exhibitional with your preaching. Excuse me, not preaching. With your prayer. Be personal. Get alone with him. In fact, that's what he's saying here, is that true intimacy with the Lord must take place in private. True intimacy is just you and God. So, by the way, if the only time that you're praying during the day is at mealtime with others, there's something wrong. Do you know what I mean? If the only time that you're communicating with God is when you're praying before a meal, and you're not interacting with him at any other time during the day, like when you wake up in the morning, are you talking to him? Before you go to bed, are you talking to him? Are you spending any time whatsoever with him alone? If that's not taking place, then I'm just going to tell you like it is, because I've been there. There's a problem. And remember, I just told you from John 15, we kind of read that during right before our prayer time, John 15, 4 and 5. If we're not abiding with each other, I shouldn't have any expectation of anything happening, right? There's not going to be any fruit. I can do nothing without him. It's no wonder we're frustrated. Do you understand? In fact, for some of you who know in the older days, we used to call it, because this verse, this is the English Standard Version. In the King James, it was go to your closet, is what it was. Now, by the way, it wasn't talking about your closet where you hang your clothes. It was talking about in England at the time, it was a meeting room, was called a closet. It was actually a bigger room than some of our closets. But here's what I want you to see. The point is, you get alone with him. And we called it the secret prayer closet, is what they used to be called. The point is you have a time of intimacy where you talk with him. See, this is the thing. It's not to be exhibitional. It's supposed to be private. True intimacy is found just between you and him, where you can be honest and express yourself. Because he already knows. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. Okay? He already knows. In fact, when you talk about true intimacy, here's what I try to tell people. With any relationship, it's not just always positive. Sometimes relationships can have negative moments too. Does everybody understand that? What do you mean? Where one person expresses frustration with the other. That's all part of talking. So you can talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand why you're doing this. I don't understand why you allowed this to happen. Why am I going through this, Lord? You can do that. How do you know I can do that? Well, if you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the abundance of revelations that he got there in the beginning of the chapter. And then when he gets to verse 7, he says there was given to him a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh to buffet him. And here's what he said. I asked God 3 times to take it from me. Like, take this away from me. So he's expressing to God his true feelings. So it's okay. But that takes place where? In privacy. By being private with him. Letting him know how you feel. I honestly think that some of us, with our struggles with life, we're not communicating with anybody what's going on. When the one person that you should be communicating them with is the Lord. And we haven't done it. We haven't done it. And he wants to meet with you. So it doesn't have to sit there and wonder, oh, does God really want to hear me share my stuff with him, open my heart? Yes, he does. If there's anybody who understands, it's him. So don't just make it out into the open, but be private. Here's the other thing I want you to see, okay? Let's go on. Here's 3 more points. All right, here it is. Look with me at verse 7. Here's what he says. And I know we do this because I do it. Look at what he says, verse 7. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. What's he talking about there, George? Well, stop praying with empty religious phrases that are meant to impress. Gentiles, that is, non-believers, non-Christians, non-Jews, when they pray to their gods, and what do? They want to get the attention of their gods, so they say lots of stuff. Continual phrases, Lord, Lord, do this, 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 and all this stuff. They're trying to manipulate their God into doing something, and he's saying to you, quit being like them. Don't do that. Don't approach me. That stuff that you're doing isn't going to manipulate me. So can we stop for a moment and write this down? You cannot manipulate God. You need to understand that. Don't think that if you say certain phrases, it's guaranteed to get you the answer. I remember years ago, this is right after Lori and I first got married, before I went to Canada and pastored in Canada, we were involved in her home church, and we helped teach the youth group on Sunday nights in that church. And I remember leading the youth group through a study, and at the end of the study, I prayed, and I just simply said, amen. And after the group, a young woman came up to me and said, God didn't hear your prayer. And I looked at her shocked, and I said, what are you talking about? God didn't hear your prayer. I said, how do you know that? You didn't say in Jesus' name. And I said, oh. That has nothing to do with it. She didn't get it. So, my friends, just saying religious phrases or thinking magical phrases, or, you know, I used to do this when I was younger. I would say, okay, I'm going to go to prayer and I'm going to bring this to him this way. It's like God's not aware that I'm having that conversation with me. Just be real. Don't be like the Gentiles thinking you can manipulate with your religious phrases. Just be real. Talk to him. Stop praying with empty religious phrases. Here's the other thing. Stop making your requests the basis for your talking with God. Stop making the whole reason why you only pray is because something happened. You got a bill that needs to be paid. You got a medical issue that was raised. You're concerned about a loved one who's going. Sometimes that's the only reason why we pray, is because we need him to give us a parking place at Walmart. If that's the reason why you're praying, that's ridiculous. You wouldn't You wouldn't. Like, the only time I talk to my wife is when I want something from her. That wouldn't go very far, would it? Not at all. There's got to be a relationship there, an interaction. So stop making your conversation with the Lord be simply about what you want. You understand that, right? In fact, look at what he says here. Look with me. Verse 8. Do not be like them, for the Lord knows what you need before you ask him. See, the whole reason why a Gentile went to the temple, his pagan temple, and he's manipulating his God with all of these words, is because he was wanting that God to do something for him, whether bless his crops or allow his wife to be pregnant, or bring rain, or give him fortune, and help him win the local lottery, and things like that. Listen to me. Don't make it your time with God about him. You want to make it about him, but don't make it about him answering your prayers. That's meaningless conversation. So what then? Here's the thing. Recognize that the Lord already knows your needs before you pray. All right, did you hear what I just said? If you want to talk about prayer and talking with him, and it's not about you bringing your requests to him, which, by the way, you can, but he already knows. So why pray then? I've had people ask that question. If God already knows what I have need of before I pray, why do I need to pray then? Well, asking the question that way reveals something. That means you have a wrong view of prayer. You see prayer as the means of getting something from God. So that's why you bring your request. So when you say, well, if he already knows what I have need of, I don't need to pray. No. You've totally misunderstood. You need to pray because God wants to interact with you. He wants to process your day with you. He wants you to share with him the joys that you had that day. God, I had a great time yesterday. My shoulder's hurting just from that one round. I got a bruise, but it felt good. Yeah, it was hot. Can you do something about that weather, Lord? You know what I'm saying? He just wants to interact with you. Lord, I saw a beautiful sight today. Or Lord, I saw something terrible today. I don't know how to process what I saw today. He wants to interact with you. He already knows what your needs are. Do you understand what I'm saying? So why pray? You pray because you want to connect with the God of the universe. So what is it, George? What is it that you're trying to get us to understand? What I'm trying to get you to understand, so when we talk about prayer, listen to me. The bottom line is, prayer is simply talking with God who wants to have a relationship with you. And as that relationship develops, Lord, today's not a good day. Today is really a hard day. I've got to do some hard things today, and I don't know how to handle it. And so as you talk to him about your hard day, and as you talk to him about the things you're going through, of course you're naturally going to share with him, Lord, I really need you to do this with me today. I need you to help me through this. I need you to answer this. I need you to do. That's just going to naturally flow out of you because the relationship is there with him. And the thing is, the wonderful thing is he already knows. So you don't have to sit there and spend a whole lot of time describing the situation. He already knows it. So you just talk to him about it. And you can do that because hopefully you've already had that interaction with him, right? This is what communicating is. This is what the relationship is. Why do you think Paul says in Philippians, be anxious for nothing? That's, don't worry about stuff. Be anxious for nothing, but with everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So when you're interacting with him and you're talking about the stuff that's going on and the stuff that's worrying you, and can I be honest with you? Sometimes I face stuff I don't even really know how to ask for something because I don't really know how to even solve the problem. I just go to him and I talk with him, and guess what he does? He doesn't say, okay, George, I'll take care of this. No, no. He just gives me peace. A sense of his presence that lets me know I'm with you. I'm with you. Sometimes that's what we need. I'm not in this alone. I think if we start just paying attention to what he tells us here, even just these few things I gave you today, it's going to change your relationship with the Lord and change the whole aspect of your talking with him. Let me pray for you.